Steve here, and I will say this, Clark. It takes God to tame a redhead. That's the big change that came along. One of the big changes. Anyway, Psalm 54 tonight. Psalm 54, excuse me. And hopefully we'll get this thing finished tonight. I've got two very short points. And moving on to Psalm 55, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Well, we'll be looking at verses 6 and 7. Well, actually, beginning in verse 4 tonight through 7. And it says, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies." Well, the Holy Spirit tonight, not just only tonight, but in the past, in the present, in the future, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know that we can have confidence in God. Amen. When it is apparent that we are in some serious, seemingly impossible situation, God wants us to know we can count on Him. We can trust in Him. And so often we are like Peter when he and his disciples, rather, were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there was an exceedingly rough or tempestuous sea, and the disciples were in the boat, and Christ was walking toward them, as we recount the historical account. And the conversation that ensued between Jesus and Peter was that Peter said, asked him to come to him, if he could come to him, and the Lord said, "Come, Peter, come out of the boat." Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked toward the Lord. And so Peter fixed his eyes upon the Lord, and perhaps thinking that he'd be safer, closer than... Listen, if you've seen some of those scanty little boats they've got over there, I tell you what, folks, they almost look like they were something, just very, very... They weren't the big boats we were thinking of, I'll tell you that. Not even like some of the canoes that we've got around here. They were big, but they were kind of rounded a little bit. And those would have been the boats that they would have used for fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. And I would agree with them. I think I'd have been safer with the Lord than I would have been in the boat when the waves were kicking up, for sure. But you know, as circumstances loom before us, and we begin, I believe oftentimes we begin right. We fix our eyes upon the Lord, determined that we'll put our confidences upon and in Him. Amen? I've done that in the past, and I figured, well, maybe He wants me to do this. Maybe I've discovered that anytime I say, well, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and then I say, well, maybe, I know this. I'm not going to say I'm maybe wrong. I am wrong when I say that. And it just simply says, if you're going to trust Him, trust Him. That's all there is to it. And so our circumstances, as I said, we loom before us. And as we purpose to experience whatever the circumstances might unfold before us, we're determined we're going to trust the Lord no matter how rough the circumstances may get. But you know, it isn't long before the storm before us distracts us, and we begin to sink beneath the storm's loud noises, and we lose our focus, and we take our eyes off the Lord, and we put our eyes on the circumstances around us. And we've been covering several or more realities that we could use to remind ourselves that the Lord our God is with us even before we get into the storms. The first one we looked at was usually we are right where we need to be. That is simply saying that David did the thing that was right. And so when you're doing the thing that's right, it doesn't seem like it's paying off, or that it's going to come about into something that you might have thought it might have come out to. Well, the thing is, maybe we back off rather than just continuing on. So usually we are right where we need to be, doing right, as doing right is always right to do. And though the storm is all about us, doing right is what we were, is what we are, where we're supposed to be, and we need to be doing the thing that's right. not assuming that, well, maybe I need to change course or change direction. But number two is when we seem to be trapped, we still have a straight-on hotline to God. Amen. We have a straight-on line. Now, sometimes we may have to spend a few minutes in a prayer closet to get our hearts straightened out because they went right before we got in the storm. But nonetheless, it's smart for us to make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord before the storms ever come. So thirdly, we have been looking at when our heart is stayed upon the Lord, we will find that regardless of how others act toward us, we will not become bitter, but we will become better. Every trial in our life, every individual that God brings into our lives is meant to better us. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because listen, there are some folks that you would just assume weren't even in the same world that you're in,
amen,
let alone on the same planet. But yet God does bring into our lives these individuals that will be abrasive, obnoxious. How we respond is going to determine whether the reason for them being in our lives was successful or not. So we can respond in a very negative spirit, or we can respond in a very positive spirit and say, thank you, Lord, for bringing this individual into my life, for teaching me something about myself that I need to deal with, for sure. Now, if anybody had a reason to get upset with people in this world, it would have been our Lord, amen?
Right.
I mean, he came as the perfect one, the perfect Lamb of God, into a world among his own people who didn't like him. Now, some liked him because they got free food. Some liked him because he healed them. Some of them didn't like him because he abraded them. Well, he should have. And when push came to shove, even some of those who liked the benefits of him being present were the ones who also were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. So the crowd is always turned easily. But just know this, that when someone gets into our life, we have to say, now, Lord, I have no idea why you brought this person into my life. Do I need to be made miserable? Or do I need to work on some areas of my life? Now, I guarantee you, the Lord's going to say, there's some areas in your life that you need to work on. And so God will bring them into our lives. So the idea is that whether it's our circumstances, whether it's people who are in our circumstances, God allows them so that we can become better and not bitter. And so that brings us to the fourth one tonight. And that is, though trapped, David was not in danger. When God brings things together, it may seem like the circumstances in and of themselves are very dangerous. But if God has ordered them, he's got us protected in the midst of them. Psalm 54 and verse 4. Behold, God is mine what?
Helper.
The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. So 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, it says, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines, and Saul finds out about it. Now, David is the one who suggests, I mean, news came to David about what was going on in Keilah, and David is the one who suggested. And the rest of the men was going, don't know about this, buddy. I don't know about this. Because they didn't have the same relationship with God that David had. Now, David wasn't always perfect in his relationship, but there was a bottom line in David's life that he trusted God. And he knew that God had a purpose in his life, that God would take care of him until that purpose was realized and completed and finished. And so the men were a little bit concerned. In fact, they were afraid. And they were afraid for their lives. Well, David really wasn't afraid for his life. He did run from Saul, because, I mean, who wants to die as an innocent individual? I mean, if you can escape, you escape. You do what you got to do. Now, David's disposition was altogether different than his men, because he had developed a close relationship and trust in the Lord his God. When he was a shepherd boy on the backside of the fields taking care of his father's sheep, and the lion came, he took care of the lion. He didn't run home to mommy, he didn't run home to daddy. When the bear came, he took care of the bear. He didn't run home to mommy, he didn't run home to daddy. He faced the dangers before him. And when he marched down into the valley against Goliath, he wasn't afraid of Goliath, because he knew that God was bigger than Goliath. And he had this relationship, he had this walk with God that gave him absolute confidence in the fact that God was going to take care of him. So, waiting for the storms of life to take over, to overtake us, to try and develop a strong strong relationship and confidence in God is almost too little too late. So when we are going through a relatively normal day, now some of our normal days may not be normal to other people, depending on how we handle our days. But what might be a normal day for you is an opportunity to make sure that you have this walk with God. So I'm excited for Tammy's son, who said, "I've started reading my Bible again." There's a preparation for whatever storms might be coming down the pike. Rather than waiting for the storms to get there, then all of a sudden scrambling, where did I put my Bible? Where did I put? And you have to dig it out from underneath a whole bunch of other stuff that you laid it down and piled stuff over top of. And I say that because this is when we build our confidence in the Lord. We learn all we can learn. We garner all the knowledge that he makes available about himself to us. Listen, the best time to... How many of you like to study something when life around you is tumultuous? Did you enjoy it last night with all that? I mean, I had my days when my study was at home and the kids were ramming around upstairs. And I had to come upstairs and say, "Would you people please calm down up here a little bit? I am trying to think downstairs. I'm trying to concentrate downstairs." So the best time to really learn about God and to gain knowledge about God is when you have the opportunity to be able to just sit down and quietly glean the things of God. Because we can rest assured that at some particular point, because we are the children of God, we're going to come into some storms. Satan's going to bring the storms, or we're going to make some stupid choices. We're going to bring our own storms on us. Or God's going to bring some storms because he wants us to solidify what we've been learning before the storm. Amen? I mean, you know, it's a sad day is when you give your children a car and they drive it around you, and all of a sudden you get a phone call and said, "I have a flat tire. Can you come and help me change the tire?" Well, you know, it's a smart thing is to teach them how to do it, because you're not always going to be around, you're not always going to be available. So why wait until they get a flat tire to show them where the jack is, how to use the jack, and how to, you know, maybe they won't have the strength to do the lug nuts, but, you know, maybe some nice stranger will come along there and have compassion if it's a girl. If it's a guy, they won't probably have any compassion on them. But nonetheless, the idea is that to be prepared, isn't that the Boy Scout? Boy Scouts motto, to be prepared. And so they put him through Red Cross thing, knots, and I don't know what the knots are for, but nonetheless they can do that. I mean, I don't think I'll have a boat and a yacht, I'll have to learn all those naval knots, one thing or another. And so, you know, but the point is that we need to be preparing ourselves, because we know a storm is coming at some point and some time. It's a little too late when you see the tornado at the end of your cul-de-sac try to dig a tornado shelter. It'd be foolish to wait that long, wouldn't it? If you have to live in Tornado Alley, what are you going to do? If I lived in those areas and I didn't have a basement, I'd be digging a hole in my backyard somewhere, because you know they're going to come sooner or later, and I'd be in that hole if that thing came along. So the idea is simply to be prepared. And so, how is it that David could be so calm? The Philistines were before him, and he knew that it would be just a matter of time before King Saul would find out where he is, and they'd be coming down there, and the people in Keilah would probably try to ensnare him in the city. But the simple answer to the question is this: God is the one who put David in this predicament. But because he had prepared his life and his walk with God prior to the predicament, he knew that in those past experiences, God had always been there for him. So he had developed a confidence in the Lord. So that in this predicament, what was the most natural thing for him to do? Or what? "Hey, cool it, man. God is with us." And we sing the song. Tell me how the lyrics go there. little as much when God is in it or something like that. When God is in it, you can sit back and just let God do what God needs to do. Amen. But secondly, though this predicament was a mystery within God's will, we don't always know why God allows certain things in our lives. But I can tell you this much, the baseline would be that it's for character development. And maybe the second would be so that we could be a witness in the midst of those things when everybody else is running around confused and falling apart at the seams, and there you are, cool, calm, and collected. Amen? And they can't understand that. And you still come and say, what? Hey, my Lord's got it all under control. But thirdly, God had not abandoned David in his past experiences. And there was no reason to think or to believe that God would abandon him now. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, if we can just turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 23, hopefully you will forever tie 1 Samuel chapter 23, with Psalm 54. Whoops. In Psalm 23, looking at verse 11, and it says, shall I then take my... I'm in the right place. No, that's 25. That won't work. Chapter 23. In chapter 23, looking in again in verse 11, it says, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down, as the servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, yeah, they will deliver thee up. And then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went with us wherever they would go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah. And what happened? And Saul forbore to go forth. God took care of him. Now, Saul could have said, well, he can't be too far from Keilah. Well, Saul just forget. He's gone. He's escaped. And so, because David was patient, because David waited on the Lord, and because David did the thing that was right, and he had confidence in God, God took care of the circumstances. And then hopefully his men learned something. And so then fifthly tonight, though trapped, David was thankful. Psalm 54, verses 6 and 7. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. Now knows all trouble, not just the present trouble, but all trouble. And mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemy. So David had brought to this particular set of circumstances past experiences. And the unfortunate part is a lot of believers really don't have a past experience with the Lord. They're saved, but they've always run. Or they've always hidden. Or maybe they've tried to handle problems in their own hands and assumed that they were the ones who dealt with it. Not a clear indication that God was the one who guided and directed. So while there are numerous sacrifices in the Old Testament, and everyone having its own unique use, here David is seeing Saul was forced to turn back from his pursuit of David. David wanted to express his gratitude for God's deliverance, because Saul could have continued, but God saw to it that Saul would see it as being futile, and so he just called off the hunt. And secondly, so David offers a free will offering that is an offering that is never really required. There's no mandate for free will offering. There are no strings attached. Expecting nothing in return, simply a solemn way of saying to the Lord, thank you. I love you, Lord. So God wants us to know with all confidence that he cares very much for you and I. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. And there are times that God allows things to come into our lives because he wants you to know, hey, listen, I know where you are. I know what you're dealing with. I want you to know I care about you. But we can also look at Psalm 56 and verse 3. It said, what time I am afraid, I will what? Trust in the Lord. At what time I'm afraid. Folks, when we walk with the Lord, building up a daily relationship and understanding of the Lord It is in times like these circumstances that are sometimes catch us off guard or seem to be a bit beyond us. Maybe we can't understand it necessarily right away. But we know that God has a purpose, that God has a reason, and we can always have confidence in God and just go for the ride. So we have also built up a great confidence in the Lord and past experiences. And that's so important for us, not to run from them, but to simply wait upon the Lord and develop that past experience. Now, men and women who have been married for any length of time, they learn that they can count on one another in certain areas and certain times of their lives. Amen? They certainly know that when there's a rattling out in the kitchen somewhere, that the wife knows that the hubby's not going to be under the bed hiding. She knows he's going to jump out of bed. He's going to go find out what the rattling is. And so we learn things about each other so that maybe when we're going through some difficult times, we know what we can count on from our spouses. And it's the same thing with the Lord. So we are also reminded how much he cares for us and how precious we are in his sight. Now, Psalm 34 and verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So he knows what you're going through. He's observing, he's watching, and he's listening. But secondly, Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. So don't ever think that you can go someplace, any place, and God can't see you. Because he can. So the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And 1 Peter, the last verse tonight, 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God is for his children. God is for those who are his. We have to trust him. No matter how desperate it may seem, he knows all about it. And we have to trust him all the way through. Not just to the point where we feel like he's failing us, because we know that Jesus never fails. Amen? So praise the Lord. That is Psalm 54. And hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll be moving into Psalm 55, the Lord willing, next week. And it's a little bit longer than that one, so who knows, maybe it'll take us a year to get, no, it won't take us a year.